for many years at this center, it was customary that the first teisho of Sesshin be on case number one in the Wumenguan, Zhao Zhou's dog, and the second teisho of Sesshin on Dogen's Fukan Zazengi, a universal recommendation for the practice of Zen. This approach has great value in that it speaks of the two streams, Rinzai and Soto, which have combined to form our lineage, stemming from Harada Roshi through Yasutani, Kaplow, Yamada, and Robert Aitken. This morning we looked briefly at an excerpt from Fukan Zazengi. And this afternoon, we'll take up case number one in the Wumenguan, Zhao Zhou's dog. The case reads, a monk asked Zhao Zhou, has a dog Buddha nature or not? Zhao Zhou said, moo. The woman's commentary. For the practice of Zen, you must pass through the barriers set up by the ancestral teachers. To realize this wondrous thing called enlightenment, you must cut off the mind road. If you do not pass through the barrier, if you do not cut off the mind road, then you are a ghost clinging to bushes and grasses. What is this barrier of the ancestral teachers? It is just this one word, mu, the one barrier of our faith. We call it the gateless barrier of the Zen tradition. When you pass through this barrier, not only will you see Zhao Zhou face to face, but you will walk hand in hand with all the ancestral teachers in the successive generations of our lineage. You will be eyebrow to eyebrow with them, seeing with the same eyes, hearing with the same ears. How wonderful! Who would not want to pass through this barrier? For this, you must make your whole body one great inquiry. With your 360 bones and joints and your 84,000 pores, concentrate on this one word, mu, day and night. Keep digging into it. Don't consider it to be nothingness or as being or non-being. And don't think in terms of has and has not. It is like swallowing a red-hot iron ball. You try to vomit it out, but you can't. Gradually, you purify yourself, eliminating mistaken knowledge and attitudes you have held from the past, casting away all illusory thoughts and discriminations. Inside and outside become one. You are like a mute person who has had a dream. You know it for yourself alone. Suddenly, mu breaks open. The heavens are astonished. The earth is shaken. It is as though you had snatched the great sword of General Guan. When you meet the Buddha, you kill the Buddha. When you meet Bodhidharma, you kill Bodhidharma. Facing life and death, you are utterly free, and in the six realms of existence and the four modes of birth, you move about in a samadhi of innocent delight. How then should one work with it? With might and main, devote yourself to mu, and exhaust all your life energy on this one word, mu. If you do not falter, your mind will, like a light flashed on in the dark, suddenly become bright. Wonderful indeed. The woman's verse. Dog, Buddha nature, the full presentation of the whole, with a bit of has or has not, body is lost, life is lost. think I had this on backwards. As most folks here know, the koan mu is the most commonly used initial or so-called breakthrough koan. It is through the investigation of this koan that the student comes to an awakening to the truth. Today we'll spend some time with Master Wu Men's commentary, which is really a teisho that lays out the path of practice and realization from the perspective of the Linji or Rinzai tradition. But that distinction between what are called Linji Zen and Zaodong or Soto Zen is really a modern one. It is said these days that the Rinzai practitioner is the one who works on koans, and the Soto practitioner engages exclusively in shikantaza, just sitting. But Dogen, who is credited with bringing Soto Zen to Japan, was very familiar with koans and refers to them extensively in his writings. He collected 300 cases for the edification of his monks at a Heiji monastery. Conversely, many, if not most practitioners, at some point in their koan study, take up shikantaza as their core practice. In his commentary, Wu Men begins, "For the practice of Zen, you must pass through the barrier set up by the ancestral teachers." Now, barriers are interesting things. What is a barrier? We hear that word, and immediately we conjure up visions of walls, fences, or maybe overturned cars in the streets of a war zone. But what about a barrier set up by the ancestors? What is that? How high is it? How wide? The very title of the collection, Wu Men Guan, means the no-gate barrier or the gateless checkpoint. So as Kaplow-Roshi pointed out, this barrier is more like the checkpoint at a boundary where you have to show your papers and ID before being allowed through. Is a wall a barrier? Or is it a connector, an interface? It's all in how you look at it. Our lives are filled with barriers. There's the barrier of time. Oh, it's too late to get started on that. I'm too old to take up Zen. Really. There's a story about the abbot of a Japanese monastery who was walking with his head monk. And he stopped and pointed to a spot in the garden and said, "We really should have a 100-foot-tall pine tree right there." The head monk said, "Oh, master, if we planted one, it would take 100 years to reach that size." The abbot said, "In that case, there's not a moment to lose." There are other barriers. Perceived difficulties. Oh, there's just too much even to try. There was a man walking along a beach with his young daughter. There had been a huge storm the night before, and the beach was littered with thousands of starfish that had been tossed up by the waves. The little girl started picking them up one at a time and throwing them back into the water. Her father said, "Honey, with all those starfish on the beach, you really won't make a difference." His daughter picked up another starfish, threw it back, and said, "I made a difference to that one." One person's barrier is another person's path, an opportunity. Our Zen practice is like that. It's very easy to occasionally feel discouraged about practice. One may feel that one is too old, too defiled, too busy, too dumb or too distracted. All those barriers. If we look upon them as barriers, then barriers they are indeed. But so suppose we look upon them as a path, as the path, the very Tao itself. What then? Learning to see these things as a path does not come naturally. We have in this temple a practice called Every Minute Zen, which addresses this very issue. Every habitual action, every thought, every emotion, everything we see, hear, taste, touch, or feel is a call to practice, an entryway. That includes everything we think. A monk asked, "Suppose all is empty and silent." The teacher said, "Enter there." The monk said, "Suppose all is noisy and chaotic." The teacher said, "Enter there." Enter there. Enter here and now. And here and now. And here and now. Over and over and over. That is our practice. Our distractions are the way. Our very defilements are the way. Whatever our condition in the moment, that is the way in this moment. Just pay attention. How? Wu Men says, "To realize this wondrous thing called enlightenment, you must cut off the mind road. If you do not pass through that barrier, if you do not cut off the mind road, then you are a ghost clinging to bushes and grasses." Cut off the mind road. What is this mind road and how do we cut it off? That's the very heart of our practice. An ancient said, "We live in forgetfulness, we die in a dream." So how do we cut off the mind road? How do we wake up from the dream? Sung Tsan said, "As it is whole and complete, this sense world is enlightenment." Someone asked the sage Sri Ramana Maharshi what enlightenment was. And he said, "Awareness." Our practice is to wake up. It is to wake up from the dream of thoughts, speculations, scenarios, ideas, mental constructs, apprehensions, memories, hopes, regrets. To cut off the mind road is to let go of all that and to wake up to the profound reality of the here and now. How do we cultivate that awareness? Through the practice, a deep and continuous focus on mu, on the breath, on who, the counting, or just sitting. Failing that, if we continue in our preoccupation with thoughts, imagining, and all the rest of it, we are indeed ghosts, clinging to bushes and grasses, smoke and mirrors. Wu Men goes on, "You must make your whole body one great inquiry. With your 360 bones and joints and your 84,000 pores, concentrate on this one word, mu. Day and night keep digging into it. Don't consider it to be nothingness, or as being, or non-being. and don't think in terms of has and has not. It is like swallowing a red-hot iron ball. You try to vomit it out, but you can't. To the modern person in this day and age, that sounds pretty ferocious. But the point here is not to pound your head against the wall, although Wu Men actually did that, but to engage fully and completely in the practice with no reservation whatsoever. Dogen advises us to engage yourself in Zazen as though saving your head from fire. And he continues, cast aside all involvements, cease all affairs, and let the myriad things rest. Setting everything aside, do not think of good or evil, right or wrong. Halt the flow of the mind. Cease conceptualizing, thinking, and observing, and give up even the idea of becoming a Buddha. This holds true not only for seated Zazen, but for all your daily actions. Now, that's not so different, is it? This is a short session, but do not be concerned with time. One instant is forever. Forever is one instant. Just give yourself up totally to the practice of this moment. Hold back nothing. Don't hang on to a little corner labeled me. If we persist, if we continue to focus clearly and accurately on the practice, whether it be mu, hu, other koans, the breath, or just sitting, gradually you purify yourself, eliminating mistaken knowledge and attitudes you have held from the past, casting away all illusory thoughts and discriminations. Inside and outside become one. You're like a mute person who has had a dream. You know it for yourself alone. Regardless of your individual practice, this is where it leads. Body and mind fall away. Inside and outside become one. This is samadhi. No eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. There is nothing. Not even the awareness of nothing. But this is not yet enlightenment, not yet realization. The Buddha reached this state in the small hours of the night, but it was not until he saw the morning star that he truly awoke. Suddenly, mu breaks open. The heavens are astonished. The earth is shaken. It is as though you have snatched the great sword of General Guan. When you meet the Buddha, you kill the Buddha. When you meet Bodhidharma, you kill Bodhidharma. Facing life and death, you are utterly free, and in the six realms of existence and the four modes of birth, you move about in a samadhi of innocent delight. Now, everyone experiences this in their own way. That's the danger of reading a lot of accounts of enlightenment experiences or kensho. We get the notion that it's supposed to be this or that kind of experience. Maybe it is a sudden explosion. Maybe just a gradual, creeping realization. Oh, so that's what it's all about. Robert A. Kinroshi spoke of breakthrough and of seep through. Either way is fine, but it's not something to worry about. Results are not our concern. Our only concern is the practice as it is in the here and now. Let me commit heresy here and rephrase Wu Men. How then should one work with it? With might and main, devote yourself to Zazen and exhaust all your life energy on this practice. If you do not falter, Your mind will, like a light flashed on in the dark, suddenly or gradually become bright. Wonderful indeed. This does not mean huffing and puffing, but yes, with each breath, with each move, or who, each moment of sitting, total focus, total involvement, 100% combustion. The great secret is boneheaded persistence. Endless patience, patience with yourself, patience with your practice. Kshanti Paramita, the transcendent patience, is one of the 10 perfections. And if truly realized, it is not different from enlightenment itself. So just continue. Continue the practice of your enlightenment. Together with all beings, we realize the way.